Hello. So glad that you could be here today to join me as we see the church in action. Today, I'm excited to share with you a story of heroic faith and radical forgiveness, a story that shows us that God is sovereign and is capable of redeeming the worst of circumstances and the worst of sinners. Stephen's martyrdom and the miracle of Paul's conversion are really pivotal moments in the growth of the church. And I hope that as we listen to their stories, it will encourage you to follow in their footsteps and to share Jesus with others. We're going to cover a lot of ground today, Acts 6 through 9. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can find these stories in Acts 6 through 9. Now, if you think back to Sunday, we met a man on Sunday named Stephen. He was one of the men who was chosen to be a deacon, chosen to spearhead the food distribution program that the church had in place to make sure all of the new disciples had food to eat and had enough. Stephen evidently had a pretty significant preaching ministry as well, and very effective to the point that it stirred up some trouble. This opposition, in fact, came from what I kind of like to think of as the New Testament's biker gang. They even had a name, the Synagogue of the Freedmen. This was a group probably of freed slaves who had become Jewish at some point. These Synagogue of Freedmen people argued with Stephen about who Jesus was, but they were not able to outwit him because Stephen was so full of the Holy Spirit and so wise in the ways of God. And so the Synagogue of the Freedmen I like to picture, a dark, smoky room with one light bulb hanging from the ceiling. Persuaded some guys to tell lies about Stephen. And so they ended up dragging poor Stephen in front of the Sanhedrin, that's the ruling council, and hauled him up on charges of blasphemy. Stephen, meanwhile, was, the picture of peace, and faced with the Jewish ruling elders, he launches into an Old Testament sermon that really recalls and reviews their shared history. And he uses a series of Old Testament stories to show that, all of the promises that God made in the Old Testament find their fulfillment in Jesus. And not only that, just like their forefathers did, now this generation of Jewish people, Stephen says, was resisting Jesus too. As you can imagine, that did not go over well with the Sanhedrin. And so, gnashing their teeth at him, foaming with fury, they, rose as one man and grabbed him and dragged him out of the city in order to stone him. They dumped their coats and picked up stones and started to launch their projectiles at this innocent man of God. Stephen, meanwhile, again, Acts 7:55 says, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus sitting at his right hand. And as these foolish murderers stoned him to death, really for offering them eternal life, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he prayed, do not hold this sin against them. And Stephen died, a heroic martyr for the faith. And looking on approvingly, making sure everybody's coat was okay, a proud, just too smart for his own good young man named Saul. On that day, 8 verse 1 says, a great persecution broke out against the church, but as it turned out, joke's on them, because even as they tried to stamp out Christianity, they spread the disciples out into the world. The disciples scattered all through the land to Judea and to Samaria, just as Jesus had said would happen in Acts 1 verse 8. And guess what happened when the disciples went? They spread the word of God to anyone who would listen. The gospel spread despite of opposition. You could even say the gospel spread because of opposition. The sovereign God brought good out of a bad situation. Now, the rest of Acts chapter 8 tells the story of Philip, who is another of the disciples chosen to be a deacon. We're just going to zip ahead now to chapter 9 to find out what happened to that proud young man named Saul. Because as it turns out, Saul was not just a glorified coat check man. He was really a murderous hitman. He was bound and bent to destroy the church. He went door to door, systematically dragging out disciples, hunting them down, throwing them in jail, seeing some of them put to death. And then he went to the high priest to get permission to take his opposition roadshow up north into Samaria. Acts 9:1 gives us a good sense of the mental space that Saul was in at this place. It says he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of Christ. He was absolutely determined to destroy the church, no matter how many lives it cost. Little did he know that God was at work in him, again bringing good out of another bad situation. So Saul got his way. The high priest gave him permission to go up to Damascus in Syria to persecute the believers there. But as he traveled, God stepped in. A higher authority had a better plan for his life. Acts 9:3 says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Well, Saul got up, but he realized that he couldn't see. The men who were traveling with him had to take him by the hand and lead him blind into the city, where he sat without food or drink for 3 days. Humbled and utterly shaken to the core, he had a lot of time to think. Meanwhile, in Damascus, in that city, there was a believer named Ananias. And God came to him in a vision and said, "Go to such and such a house. You're going to find this man Saul. Go there, lay hands on him so that he may receive his sight again." And Ananias said, Are you sure?" Word had traveled to Damascus of this, you know, one-man persecution machine, Saul, and the last place that Ananias wanted to be at this point was near Saul. But God replied, verse 15, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Put yourself in Ananias' shoes right now. Would you have the courage to go? Would he? Well, verse 17, Ananias went to the house. He entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me to you that you may see again and that you may be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes and he could see again. And not only that, something like scales fell off of Saul's heart and he gave his life to following Jesus. He experienced for himself the undeserved grace of God and came out of it a new man. That time spent blind but for 3 days made him realize that he had been blind all his life and that all he knew about the Old Testament was pointing towards Jesus. Now, the man who once persecuted the church was now preaching the faith he tried to destroy. And who better to share the faith than a man who desperately needed it? In the grace of God, Saul became Paul. These are powerful stories of heroic faith and radical forgiveness and the sovereign grace of God. Just imagine what it took for Stephen to stand before the Sanhedrin and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is good. He is the Savior who will never fail. Just imagine the courage it took for Ananias, the faith to go to Ananias, to go to where Saul was and actively walk up to this guy who has been systematically killing believers like you to say, the Lord is with you. How did they do it? Heroic faith in a trustworthy God. They trusted that God would take care of them, that God knew what he was doing. I mean, even as he laid down his life, Stephen saw that God would never fail him or forsake him, the heavens opening up to welcome him home. That's heroic faith in a trustworthy God. And just think about the radical forgiveness on display here. You know, Stephen forgiving his killers, Ananias forgiving Saul, God forgiving Saul for being the murderer that he was. This is radical forgiveness on display. Forgiveness that we don't deserve. The very forgiveness that Jesus came, as promised in the Old Testament, to secure. Do you realize how radically forgiven you are? Do you realize that the same forgiveness that Jesus died to forgive Paul is the way that God has forgiven you? And is your life as different as Paul's after he came to know Jesus? Jesus gave his life so that when we are forgiven, we too can forgive that way. And just think of the sovereign grace of God here. The Jewish leaders tried to shut down the church. You know, they tried to wipe out the faith. And yet, what did they do? They ended up spreading it in the sovereignty of God. They spread faith throughout the land. In the sovereignty of God, again, the worst of persecutors became the best of preachers. God redeemed both a terrible situation with Stephen and a terrible sinner in Paul. In the sovereign grace of God, even opposition advances God's kingdom. So what's the takeaway for us? Well, I'd put it like this. Because of God's sovereignty, we can share fearlessly. Because of God's sovereignty, we can share fearlessly. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. God is in control. People will choose to respond to the gospel and the church the way that they do. They may choose to oppress the church or ignore it altogether. They make their own decisions. They freely make their own decisions. But in God's sovereign economy, it all works together for good. Even persecution advances the gospel. Because God is sovereign, then we can share fearlessly. We can share fearlessly his message of hope and forgiveness that Jesus died to forgive people like Paul and people like me. You know, if God can take somebody like Saul and turn him into Paul, God can do that same work in our neighbors and in our families and in our friends. And we can share fearlessly with them that truth. It's a message that we need to share. When we trust that God is good and that God is in control, we can spread that message fearlessly, knowing that no matter what happens, God is working for good. Because of God's sovereignty, just like Stephen, just like Ananias, just like Paul, we can share freely. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the witness of these faithful men, of Stephen, who boldly stood up for you and would not even forfeit his own life or trade in his own life as opposed to being dedicated to you. Thank you for Ananias, you know, somebody we don't usually hear about, and yet he had the faith to go and lay hands on this dangerous animal named Paul. give us that kind of trust, God, to go where you send us. And God, thank you for Paul, for Saul, who teaches us that even the worst of sinners, people who actively oppose and oppress your church, you can redeem and transform even the worst of them. Paul later says, God showed mercy to me, the least of the worst of sinners, so that through me people may see the incredible mercy of God. Lord, help us to share that incredible mercy of God with other people. Give us boldness. Give us confidence in your sovereign power and grace. Give us immense gratitude for the radical forgiveness that you had shown for us. Put a burden on our hearts to share that forgiveness with others. And give us humility and grace to confidently, fearlessly share your good news with others. Holy Spirit, be in us as we do that. Lord, we know that it was the Holy Spirit in Stephen who took those dry bones and gave him life, who took Ananias and carried him along, who changed Saul to Paul. Holy Spirit, fill all that we do and lead us on in this endeavor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, folks. So glad that that you could be here today. So glad that I could share these stories with you. I have another great one to share with you on Sunday. Very much looking forward to seeing you online again. So many blessings to you, and I encourage you to stay safe and to trust in God and to remember prayer and precaution, not panic.